Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm so thrilled to start 2021 with our people, with this community, with what God's doing. I want to welcome everybody in Skytook and Sepulpa, people watching online. And I just want you to know that we were backstage before the 9:30 service, and there was some guys back there talking. And I think Joel Coggins said, you know, there's so many men in our families, in our church, that have prospered abundantly through 2020. With everything that's happened in 2020, things have gone so well for people. And you know why that is, and I'll get to my doctrinal stand on that initially. It's because we say so. That's my doctrine. You know, as a parent, that's my doctrine as a parent. It's like, hey, you're going to eat those peas. It's like, Dad, why? Really? If it came out of my mouth, that's where we're going, okay? Well, that's how our life is. The Bible says there's life and death. The power of life and death's in our tongue. The Bible says we have what we say. Man, we can speak to that mountain, be removed to be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. We have what we say. So guess what? Because I say so matters. And that's what we have to understand. I went into 2020 where Sandy was pretty ill and fighting the good fight of faith. Well, all of that flipped, all right? We're going into 2021 with a very healthy Sandy. And so I'm just telling you, the entire year 2020 was just like a slugfest for me. And I came out of it thinking, some of them, I got to pick the fight. Others, it picked me. But let me tell you, I'm going into 2021 the same way. I'm going to go into 2021 looking for every fight I can pick. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you, the days that we're living in right now are extreme. You know, it's interesting because the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be. Well, that's as true now as any time in my Christian life. Everything that can be shaken. You know, I take the virus. It's serious. It's a virus. I'm not being cavalier about it or anything. I don't let it have any play in my life. I don't let it. I'm not gonna. Hey, there's an expressway in front of our church. And there's 110,000 cars a day that go by that expressway. And people are driving, a lot of them speed. A lot of people, and to let you guys know, there's cops on motorcycles that'll assemble back here in the viaduct, and they'll run people down right here in front of the church. I'll sit and drink coffee in my office, and I'll watch people getting tickets. And I'm just thinking that's good news for me, because if there are quotas, that kind of, it's like that guy gets pulled up, a cop goes by you and pulls the guy in front of you over. You're like, hey, sorry for you. But I don't know where that came from. But the point is, I'm not going to go start dodging trucks in the expressway in front of the church. I'm not going to go play. It has no bearing upon my life, that expressway, or even how many cars are on the expressway. That's how the virus is for me. And yeah, take it seriously. Man, if you got them, smoke them. I'm telling you, you do you. You live your life. But see, we've got to understand, my doctrine is I have what I say. My doctrine is because I said so. And that's where we have to get. And I want to tell you that this month, it's going to be a lot about you. That are our Sunday services. And it's essentially the giftings in your life. When we think about what we do for a living, and what I do, my skill set isn't very deep in what I have to do as the pastor of a local church like this. Okay, I've got to surround myself with incredible people, which we have, and an incredible team. But when I look at my skill set or my natural abilities, it falls way short of where my dreams are. And that's because I believe that's how God made us. I think God made us with a limited capacity, physically, mentally. Paul said, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He said, I know in part, therefore I preach in part. And had his issues and well documented throughout his the letters and books that he wrote. But I want you to know this. God has uniquely gifted all of us. All of us. I get it. I'm the leader. I get it. I'm going to have to stand before God. But I want you to get it. You're going to have to stand before God as well. See, it's a little awkward for me when I have to stand before God. I have to stand before God and make account for your soul. And you'll think, what? You're not responsible for me. I'm not responsible for you. I'm not responsible for what you say. I'm not responsible for you, what you do. I am responsible for how you think. And listen, not the decisions you make, but the mind of Christ and God's promise factors in to your thinking capacity. Does that make sense to you? See, I'm going to have to stand before God and make account for how you think. And let me tell you, you could pick the wrong way to go every single time, and I'm not responsible. But what I have to do is I have to rightly divide the word of truth. I have to be led by the Spirit of God, and I have to deliver God's word in a manifest level, in an operational level that's specific that you can take it and run with it. And see, so God has uniquely gifted you. You have to understand that your skill set may not be good enough. But the Bible says his giftings and his call are without repentance. Man, that's why people can say, man, my kid's only 4 or 5, but he's exempt. He's showing some leadership capability. Let me tell you, leaders are 100% built, in my opinion. But I think there's giftings that can help with leadership. There's giftings that can help with public speaking. There's giftings that can help with confronting reality, with helping people through issues. See, God gifts us for one primary purpose. It's to build his kingdom. If you wonder what God has on his mind today, it's that we are here building his kingdom. That's what's on God's mind. See, and we're stewards of these gifts. That's in a micro level. But then we're also, in addition to that, we're stewards of his kingdom. And that's in a macro level. See, and we've got to, there's a duality to it. Man, we've got to be stewards of the gifting that God, see, I think about it, I've got to be a steward of the gift that God's given me to lead this church. But you might have to be a steward to make and distribute funds. See, but what you can use them, God's given us gifts, and they're building gifts. I remember that I was in a driver's ed class when I was a junior in high school, and the assistant basketball coach was a driver's ed instructor. We pulled in this neighborhood, and he said, hey, pull over here. We pulled over, and we sat there for a few minutes. He didn't say anything. He just watched this guy who was a bricklayer that was laying bricks on the front of this house. And he just watched this guy. He said, okay, you can take off. And so we drove around for about 10 more minutes, went back to the school. I said, hey, coach, what was up with us stopping and watching that bricklayer? He goes, I envy somebody that at the end of the day knows exactly what they produced that day. He said, because what I do is, and he looks at me. He said, what have I produced today? And he pointed at me. I'm like, and I realized there's a reason why you're an assistant to a basketball coach. Okay, that was rude. You understand that it's brick by brick what God is building. That's why Paul said, look, I'm a master builder. Man, so I've got plans, and there are expectations, and I've got to be prepared. And then you know what I've got to do? I've got to get skilled people that we can pull into the mix to build something great for God. See, we use our giftings to build either, listen, the kingdom, or to build ourselves. And here's the bad one that should take your breath away, or to build nothing. And I think what the enemy's ploy is, his deception, is to deceive the church at the end of the day, building nothing. That can't be our lives anymore. Man, I know I was put on this earth to do something great for God. I know it. And that's why it's hard, because when you make that determination in your life, you've entered a tunnel with no light. Josh, there's no light at the end of my tunnel. It's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to press on. We don't live by how we see. We live by God's promise. We don't live by how we perceive things, how we feel about things. We live by what God's word says. And see, everything starts with a decision. I made a decision in my life for Jesus to be Lord of my life. See, so in that, I made a decision that I gave him my heart. So, you know what? I had a keen understanding from the very beginning as a Christian. I was a single man in my early 20s. And you know, one of the first thoughts that I had was, no one is ever going to be able to break my heart again. Why? Because my heart belongs to the Lord. I gave my heart to God now. So man can't break my heart. Why? Because God has my heart now. See, it's things as simply as that. But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We know so many people like that. And should expect to receive nothing of the Lord. Why are there so many fruitless people that call themselves believers and call themselves Christians, but there's no fruit that's born in their life? It's because they're not making that decision. Jesus is Lord of my life. God's the healer. God's the provider. My help comes from him. See, I make decisions on those things. So you'll get a newsflash that the third wave's coming. It doesn't even factor into how I plan my life. It's something that isn't even a bug that hits my windshield. It flies by. Why? Because I've already made decisions that are different than what that calls for. See, that's what we have to understand. God's purposes for your life set you above any obstacle that you may face. Anything that's about to come down the pike for you, God's purpose for your life elevates you over it. You're not listening to me. This is just positive thinking. I'm not Tony Robbins up here trying to get you to buy something. I'm telling you, I'm not selling, I'm sold. See, the idea of our lives now, whatever you're facing right now, God wants to elevate your life over it no matter what. Whatever obstacle you might face, man, we're hurdlers. That's the race we're in. There's hurdles in our lane. This year, 2021, I'm going to open it with a series. And in this series, it's going to help you discover and develop and then accelerate your divine giftings. And you know what? I think that a lot of times, people don't even know what that gifting might even be. I think it's heinous that we're not providing as a church opportunities for people to understand God's purpose for their life. And if you don't know what God's purpose is, generally, it's for you to win. See, too many people come to the kingdom with this mindset that they never win at anything. And then they carry that through their life. You know, it's interesting. As an athlete, we're not sizing up the opponent and thinking, wait a second, I'm not as big, I'm not as fast, I'm not as strong. Man, we're all bumblebees. Our wings are too short, our bodies are too big. The physics does not work, we'll never be able to fly. Yet I've been stung by bumblebees before. I know they can fly. But that's who we are. When the world says we can't, you know why? They're looking at our natural skill set. They're looking at us naturally. They don't know the gifting. That Jesus calmed the storm. He said, peace be still. And the wind stopped. And those guys look around and go, this is freakish. Who is this guy that even the wind obeys him? That there's one translation that says, what manner of man is this? See, I'm telling you, are you even scratching the surface of what's on the inside of you? No, I'm telling you, you haven't. Because the Bible still says, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. You can't imagine the great things that God has for you if you just simply love him. We're about to go into a fast, and I think it's Matthew I asked you in the last service. You probably still don't have an answer, do you, Scott? 17 or 19? It's 17? Thank you, Scott. So Matthew 17, the group of a guy came to the disciples. He said, look, my son's epileptic. He's throwing himself in and out of the fire. I can't deal with this anymore. I've heard about this Jesus. Here, can you take care of this? You guys travel with him. You guys are every step of the way you're with him. And you know what? All they did, it just frustrated them because they couldn't handle it. The guy comes up to Jesus. He said, hey, my son is epileptic. There's a spirit that, and Jesus said, man, my guys can take care of it. And they said, no, they can't. He said, the guy said, these guys are worthless. And Jesus said, yeah, they're, how long do I have to be this perverse generation? These guys are perverted. How long do I have to be with them? See, 2020 or this century isn't when perversion began. It was in the days of Jesus and in the mindset of his disciples. Understand that, okay? How long do I have to be with this perverted or perversive generation? And so he turned and he cast the demon out of the kid, and the kid was freed up like that. And the disciples came, Jesus said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, let me tell you something, Buster. If you had faith as a mustard seed, a speck of faith, if you had the smallest speck of faith, you could say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it would have to obey you. But then he turned to him and he said something that's one of the most misunderstood things in the word. He went to him and he said, these come out only by prayer and fasting. And see, so many people teach that that epileptic demon only comes out by that. Jesus wasn't talking to the Father nor to the Son. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was dealing with their unbelief, their disbelief, their ignorance. He was dealing with their doubt. And see, we look at this and we're coming into a place right now at the beginning of this year where we're calling a corporate fast starting right now. And it's just simply a Daniel fast where we're gonna fast everything that's not fruit or vegetable. And you know what? You can go to the website or you can just, if you got them, smoke them. But I'm just telling you what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna set it at fruits and vegetables. And it's a Daniel fast, and you can study what Daniel got to eat. He didn't partake of the king's table, yet he was the strongest in the king's house. And you know what? Exemplary. See, so we look at this. So what was Jesus talking about coming out by prayer and fasting? Number one was their ignorance. What I don't want to be in 2021 is ignorant. I don't want to be ignorant of what the devil's doing. I don't want to be ignorant with what's going on. I don't want to be ignorant of what people are going through. So what am I going to do? I'm going to fast. It's a lack of knowledge. And you know what we've got to do? All that is I'm going to begin to write the truth. If you're not one of those people that are like me, where I've driven my stake in the ground, where God's the healer. Any guys with me on that, that God's a healer? Anytime, anywhere, anybody, no matter what. I don't put any kind of strings attached to it. Well, why is that? Because I found it in God's word. And I've now for 41 years put all my trust in that promise of God to heal, his provision to heal. So I've written that on the tablet of my heart. So number one is ignorance. Number two is disbelief. Disbelief is simply believing in the wrong things. So with this, you've got to erase and write. Man, some of you guys are like, well, you know, maybe it's God's will that you have that cancer kill you. Maybe it's God's will that you lose that child. Let me just tell you something. You're believing the wrong things. There's nowhere in the word where God takes kids or puts cancer on us to heal us or to teach us. Nowhere. So we've got to rewrite the tablets of our heart. And number three is what Jesus was dealing with those disciples. It was a natural unbelief. They were trusting their senses. They were trusting what they saw or how they felt. It was a sense knowledge, their senses. Their natural senses dictated their doubt in that kid being free of that epileptic demon. See, so what I'm going to do the first 3 weeks of this month, of this year, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fast and I'm going to get in God's word and I'm going to pray and I want to eliminate. Let me tell you, for so long, I've heard about different dispensations of the Spirit of God. Yet the Bible says different ministries, same Spirit. And it hit me recently that what E.W. Kenyon, that what Kenneth Hagin, that what maybe even Joel Osteen today, what those guys walk in is not, to me, my opinion, is not necessarily a different dispensation of the Spirit, but listen, a different dispensation of revelation. And see, it's not semantics here. It's completely different things. I know that we're coming into a time of revelation that the world has to have. God's going to give the church. How do we get it? Prayer, fasting, identifying and eliminating our doubt and our unbelief, and being able to run through troops and leap over the gates of Hades won't prevail against us. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to read a dozen or so verses here, and this is going to be the crux of the message today. Paul writes and says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, didn't come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God," which he could have, but he said, "I didn't come like that. I didn't come thinking that this was me. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I challenge you to be there in how you judge people, how you look at people or see people. Verse 3, "I was with you in weakness, I was with you in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Stop right there. It's the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, I think so many people are missing this. For generations now, I've been a Christian for 41 and a half years. I have watched people follow another man's vision. And let me tell you, it's important for you to serve another man's vision to get your sea legs under you to be able to serve your own vision. See, understand that. I get how the hierarchy of the kingdom works. How will they know unless someone preach? How will someone preach unless they're sent? Man, if you ever go to preach, if you ever go to establish ministry, understand you have to be sent to do that. Sandy and I were 30 years ago at a Grace Fellowship here in town that isn't even around anymore. But understand, this worked because we were sent. We followed that godly order. God gifts us to demonstrate his Spirit and power in demonstration. That's why it's vital for us to understand there's a gifting on the inside of us. There's a divine gift. Listen, it's not a natural skill set that I'm talking about here. It's a divine gifting that you have. It's what God put in you to break people free from the bondage that's in their lives. Let me tell you, your gifting has an anointing on it. That anointing is God's presence that's on that aspect of your life. Man, we all work generally as Christians. But let me just tell you, man, there's giftings that each of us have uniquely flavored in our lives that God puts his presence on. It breaks yokes of bondage. It removes burdens. See, God gifts us to demonstrate his Spirit and power in demonstration. See, this is all about the demonstration of the Spirit. That's what the world's looking for. It's in operation. That we operate in the Spirit. Verse 6, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature." Now listen, "yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." Man, there's so many things. Let me just tell you, we get things in order, things get free in the world. When the church puts things in order. Man, you look at what's happening in America racially. We can't start color first. We have to start Jesus first. When it's Jesus, then it's color. Guess what? Freedom happens. See, we've got to understand that. We've got to look at that. Man, we're here to put things in order so that the world can get free of the bondage that they're in. See, we're not doing that for us. I'm not trying to put things in order for me to be free of my bondage. No, the Son set me free. But we speak the wisdom of God, listen, in a mystery. See, the world looks at the Word of God as being cryptic. And it's not. See, they see it as a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. See, God gives us revelation. Man, you sit for 10 minutes and you talk to Scott Houston, you're going to identify revelation that's functioning and flowing in his life. And you know what? It's going to attach to the gifting that's in his life. And what's it going to do? It's going to help you be separate from the bondages and the chains and the burdens that the world and the enemy's put on you. We can't make this all heady. But we speak of the wisdom as a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for my glory. Verse 9. These go hand in glove, and it's clear, but as it's written, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for just his children, those who love him. You know, it's interesting. This woman comes to Jesus, said, "Can you help me with my son? He's demon possessed." Jesus said, "No." She said, "What? No, I see you helping people. I want the help that you're giving other people." He said, "No." She said, "Well, wait a second. Why not?" She said, "Because the time hasn't come yet for you to get your help. Jesus hadn't been glorified yet. But listen," he said, this is food for the children." And you know what she said? "Even the dogs get the scraps that fall off the table." See, you understand how much is in you. You can't realize it. See, and what we want to do is, man, we want to go to our kids and say, "Man, you can be anybody, anything you want. You can be the president of the United States." No, you know what? You could fulfill God's purpose. You could function in the divine giftings that God's put in your life and have the greatest life known to mankind. For those who simply love him. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." All God wants to do is immerse you in his promise and immerse you in everything that he's about. That's what your gifting is going to equip you for. "For what man knows the things of man except by the Spirit of man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God." See, there's a spirit of a man that's on the inside of me, so I get men. But now God's put his Spirit on the inside of me. Now I get him. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. See, do you understand how there's a law of attraction that comes into your life? Man, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? Healing and prosperity and peace and dominion is all attracted to your life. These things we speak, not in the words of men's wisdom or how men teach us, but by how the Holy Spirit teaches it. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, we're mixing things up here. The diagnosis is not spiritual. The problem is not spiritual. The prognosis and the solution is always spiritual. Always. If I'm looking to the world for the prognosis and the solution, it is never going to be the Spirit of God. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. The Bible says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. There's a discernment that comes as a spiritual gift that we have to earnestly desire. "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." See, there's a natural disconnect between man and God's wisdom. the Bible even says God will take the foolish things to confound the wise. And this, let me bring some clarity here in Philippians, the second chapter. And this is how you guys raising kids. You guys being newlyweds. Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And we're cheering. And verse 10 flips it toward us, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now listen, every knee should bow. And normally we stop. Every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus and we all cheer. Listen, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. See, so there's three levels of life that we can live. And the name of Jesus operates at all three levels. But see, you choose the first level that God's called us to live at are heavenly places. High above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Heavenly places. The second one is the earth. And the third one is under the earth. Man, what is the prince of the power of the air? What is the enemy to your soul? What does he want? He wants to pull you even under the earth. See, this is where civil liberties come into play for me as a pastor. Man, when our civil liberties start to be removed from our lives, just human rights, and now we're pulled below that, no. We draw a line. We're not going under the earth. Civil liberties are at a natural level. And let me just tell you, but with God, where all things are possible, he pulls us to heavenly places. So where do you want your marriage? Where do you want your children? Because let me tell you, the way you speak and what you say determines it. Man, because I said so. Let me tell you, coming into 2020, Sandy is going to live and fulfill your purpose on this earth in the name of Jesus. The week before she got a transplant, I was in Pittsburgh, and I just cried out to God. I said, God, you know me, you know my heart. I'm done with this. She needs a new liver in the name of Jesus. She'd been on the transplant list for 2 weeks. This was on Sunday evening. Wednesday morning, she got a call that her to come in. They had a new liver for her. Oh, that's a fun coincidence. 8 days later, they released her from the hospital. 8 months later, they released her from surgical care. You know what they said? Live your life. Let me tell you what that does. That kind of sentiment to a godly person, live your life, that pulls you up to heavenly places. See, understand, wherever you are right now, the gifting that God put on the inside of you is going to cause you to elevate over your obstacles. Man, 2020 has been a slugfest. I every single day. But you know what? And I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you why acceleration comes into play. 2021, our favor. It's to our favor. See, this acceleration, it starts with expectation. You getting ready, J-Law? Got to give J-Law a heads up. So acceleration starts with expectation. That expectation, now listen, has to move to preparation. For you to really, truly accelerate through 2021. How many guys believe that's a word that God's given us as a church? We have to be prepared for it. We've got to get ready for it. Then you have to be able to trust your foundation. You got to be able to trust your equipment. The last thing I want to do is accelerate on the Creek Turnpike of my Harley and not have the right air pressure in my tires. You got to be prepared. You got to get ready. You got to be able to trust your foundation and trust your equipment. And then guess what you've got to do? And let me just tell you. You fast right. You pray right. You immerse yourself in the Word. You read a proverb every day. Read today's proverb. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Man, you do what you know to do. You do the right things. You take initiative in these areas. Man, you get your expectation right. You prepare yourself. You have trust, a high level of trust. Then guess what? Just hang on.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.